The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga. The Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Welcome to the High Spot Podcast. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter, my tag team partner, Brian Berga. Follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. We got a great show for you. Breaking news, Raw and SmackDown absolutely sucked, so we're not going to talk about those things. But trendsetter, we're going to talk about a lot of things, and one of them is going to be the WWE global expansion has begun. Trendsetter, what is going on? How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really tired right now, but I'm excited to talk about this because there's no need to waste energy talking about Raw and SmackDown, Jeff. Talking about what's going on with NXT, which always seems to be young and vibrant, and the global expansion like you're talking about, talking things like New Japan, Ring of Honor, and Impact as well, is stuff that I enjoy talking about. So let's get it underway, Jeff. I can't wait.
That's right, Trendsetter. But first, guys, you can also check us out on our YouTube channel, High Spot Podcast. You can make sure all our interviews are there, and now especially the mini-series Adventures with the Trendsetter is there as well. So always like and subscribe and give support on the YouTube channel. 1,300 subscribers and rising even as we speak, Trendsetter. But yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Raw and SmackDown was really nothing to write home about. And again, Shane McMahon did not address the fact of you know, the loss at Survivor Series, getting swept at the Survivor Series. So obviously that is a storyline, a detail that they're not going to address maybe next year when they talk about the disaster that was the Survivor Series for SmackDown Live. But the disaster that was Raw, a lot of people, you know, saying that it was the worst Raw ever. So we're going to leave it at that. Everyone is going to beat it to death. And so what we're going to do is we're going to transition because
everybody's going to beat it to death and we're going to let it die a slow, painful
death. We're going to let it lie. We're just going to leave it, let it be, because there's so much to talk about because, you know, we talked to George Carroll. We had him on the show a few months ago. And you had brought up a point about one day there being like performance centers all over the world, all across the world. And, you know, George was saying how, you know, that could happen. That is a possibility. We're talking about the places like, of course, the UK with the Triple H bringing in NXT UK, and then maybe spots like Germany. And then you're talking about how Japan would be eventually a destination for NXT. And the global expansion to me officially began when Triple H announced that the NXT UK would have their own takeover. Now, you've seen that they've been introduced on the Wednesday night lineup for TakeOver in 205 Live, and you can see NXT UK there. But from Blackpool, England, where they had their first set of tapings, they're going to have their first TakeOver event. And I was thinking, man, the trendsetter was so right, man, because, you know, global expansion is going to be a huge topic in 2019. And as we head into 2019, so many of the things are going to be coming to the forefront. But just your take on the announcement of NXT TakeOver, because I thought it was just the next step once they introduced NXT UK.
Well, it's my first initial reaction. It was the next step. I mean, what they were doing with UK, and then, you know, we went on countless times, Jeff, how many months? It seems like years now we've been talking about how the United Kingdom Championship had not been defended. There was no idea what was going to happen because they had the UK tournament, which was a success, just like the Cruiserweight Classic, but then there was no end story of what was going to happen. And now, you know, they talk about Pete Dunne's record. I think it's kind of fabricated because he hasn't really defended on TV, but he has defended at live events. So now finally he has a home, a place for it. And I think this is just generally the next step. I don't know what was going on in terms of the length of negotiations of why this thing took so long to happen, but it finally did. And this was eventually going to be the next step, because if they're going to be, for example, NXT tries to pride itself. I mean, Triple H talks about it too, and a lot of people discuss it as its own entity, its own brand. Some people will still call it developmental. Okay, fair enough if you want to call it now that. But at the same time, you have NXT now in the United States with the likes of Ricochet, Undisputed Era, Tommaso Ciampa, and now you have your own set of talent in the United Kingdom, and now they're trying to be their own separate entity as well. So it was just a matter of time, and we all know, Jeff, how the European crowd is so, I wouldn't say desperate, but starving for more wrestling, and it loves its professional wrestling, and this is going to be a great outlet and a great step in the right direction for NXT.
As you say, it's going to be a great outlet and a great thing for NXT. The problem is that I see is for the smaller companies now that are in Ireland, in Scotland, in the UK, that won't be able to have their stars, the stars that they usually book for their shows, available, because what WWE is going to do is what they're doing now is they're having their talent re-sign to newer deals, which only allow them to wrestle for a Progress, for WXW in Germany. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of restrictions for NXT UK talent now. And so the little guy gets screwed in the end, because those are the people that you want to see succeed. Because without those little guys, there are no stars of today that WWE is signing. So again, it's a great thing for the WWE, but here you have the machine that's now coming over to the UK, and the global domination, the global expansion. Yes, it's good for WWE business. It's good for getting the people's names out there. But again, it is a good thing for WWE. It's a good thing for WWE fans. But again, the little guy gets screwed.
It's funny you talk about that, because I had a discussion with the Moody Barber not too long ago, Jeff, and he brought up a good point. But
was
then
he Moody?
He's always Moody. What are you talking about? But I'm going to bring this up to you. You just stated what you just said about, you know, the little guy and it being difficult for the other independent promotions around them. That's what I initially thought as well. But look at it from this perspective, right? We talked about how maybe about 2 years ago, WWE went in this rampant spending spree of getting talent from Impact, from New Japan, Finn Balor signed, AJ Styles, you know, Luke Gallison Anderson. And then you're thinking, man, they're depleting the talent from New Japan Pro Wrestling or Ring of Honor or Impact, for example. But look at it from this perspective, right? If WWE hadn't done that, where the likes of Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks would have been, you know, guys like Adam Cole, sorry, Hangman Page, Marty Scurll, would they flourish like they're flourishing now? No. All that talent had to be pushed aside and taken out for them to step up to the plate. So I like to think it's going to be the same exact way. They can absorb as much talent as they want, NXT UK, for example, but they're not going to have enough time to put everybody on. But what does it do? It also brings, if I'm a young talent and I want to be part of the NXT UK, I know now there's an opportunity for me, because now there's a space available in these other promotions that I can go and make a name for myself. And if ultimately my goal is to work for WNXT, I now have the ability where it could be, for example, the minor leagues they're checking out. I'm not calling these independent promotions minor leagues, but now it gives the ability for younger talent to have an opportunity to be in the spotlight on a smaller stage.
Listen, we know that these smaller promotions are kind of going to be the ground where, you know, you develop these guys, and you're right, you know, they allows the younger guy, but for the short term for these companies that are depending on the stars, it takes time to develop newer ones, right? So it's going to be either 6 months, a year, 2 years maybe to get new talent. Yes, you're right. It is going to give other opportunities to the other wrestlers that are less known. But again, though, if you're going to book companies and you want to draw gates, for the short term, it's going to be bad for business for them, because in order to make stars, it takes time. So for the short term being, they're going to have their issues. So again, it's good for the WWE, and it's bad for the time being for the smaller companies, because again, yes, they will develop younger talent, and always the cream rises to the top. And although these companies, smaller ones, mind you, are like the breeding ground for companies like WWE or New Japan or Ring of Honor to pluck from, short term it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I mean, short term it's going to affect, and there's going to be some change. But again, with everything in this business, Jeff, it's a revolving circle. It keeps coming back around to the forefront. And the forefront, if you want to look, you know, hindsight's 2020 in this case, ultimately I think it'll be a benefit, not short term, but long term, because now these promotions will have opportunities to bring younger talent. Of course, depending on how you make a star, depends on the individual, depends on the promotion. But now there's an opportunity for younger talent who probably didn't have that opportunity to begin with, will now have that opportunity. For example, let's look, for example, with the National Football League, right? Now you're going to have the XFL pretty soon. You're going to have what, the UFL that's coming up too. Now it's going to be other places where they're not going to be the cream of the crop. Some might jump and surprise you, but now it's more opportunities for people to showcase their talents that weren't drafted in the NFL to begin with. And I know you've come back and told me, well, if you're not drafted in the NFL, it's because you're not necessarily one of the top talents out there. But you can surprise a lot of people. A lot of people go into the waterwork. Look at Tom Brady. If you have the opportunity to more areas, more places to showcase, and more doors open for you to hone your craft, it's better all long-term for the business.
I believe there's more talent, though, in wrestling, because I think the chances of you becoming a star are much better than you, for example, being a star if you're not in the NFL. You know, the there's more needles in the haystack when you go to like the XFL or the UFL you're talking about. But no, agreed. That's pretty good. Yeah, it gives the opportunity for the person who wasn't given a shot for the, maybe the seventh round pick or the guy that gets cut during the preseason, gives them a chance to show what they have and gives them another life, maybe go back to the NFL.
Yeah.
So yeah, totally agree with that. And I think now that the WWE now is, you said before, they're plucking guys like Finn Balor, like Shinsuke Nakamura. They were plucking away Anderson and Gallows and allowed the cream to rise to the crop. Those other guys, like the Kenny Omegas, you know, when AJ Styles left, gave a chance to Kenny Omega. You know,
and ultimately, those could have failed, but in the end, they succeeded. Yeah. And look at Cody, who left WWE to make a bigger name for himself for an opportunity that probably wasn't going to be there if he had gone to New Japan or Ring of Honor.
WWE right now is in a plucking guys now. Because we're going to get to it in
and
a little
gals.
Bit. And gals, too. And we're going to get to it in a little bit, too. They are in a mode where they're locking up talent. And they're also, again, trying to sign the best independent wrestlers out there. And, you know, we started with the show. And we talked about global expansion. But it doesn't get any bigger, literally and figuratively, than the signing of Walter. And we were doing a show in the summertime. We were talking about the G1 blocks, and we were talking about how it's having our own G1 blocks. And I mentioned Walter, and I mentioned how this guy, again, with the it factor, has it. He's a big guy. He's a Vince McMahon guy if he does ever lay eyes on him, because it's definitely a Triple H signing here. He is exclusively going to be on the NXT UK brand. Now, this is a guy who stands 6'4", over 300 pounds, and is very impressive and has the skill set of Keith Lee, who's a bigger guy, but can move like a 250-pounder. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you guys do yourselves a favor, do catch a matchup between Walter and check him out, because he was at the Battle of Los Angeles this past year. He was also has a great matchup with Will Ospreay that he found on the internet. It was really good as well. This guy can have a matchup with anybody, right? And this is a guy that it took a while for the WWE to sign him, because he is very much in the mindset of this. I'm not making this business for money. He wants to be comfortable. He doesn't really have any intentions of making it to the States. He will go once in a while because he's been doing it on the independent scene. Mm-hmm. So he will travel, but he doesn't want to commit. He doesn't. New Japan was somebody that was very interested in Walter, but he didn't want to do the 3-week tour in Japan that they always do. This is a guy that's not in it for the money. He's in it because he loves this, and now he will be exclusively to NXT UK. And I think it's all leading to maybe him debuting, because he's done with his commitments for 2018. He will probably debut at this takeover and make a huge impact right away. This, to me, is, again, the WWE now knowing that there's a threat. And Vince McMahon maybe didn't take the threat of WCW to begin with, but now any kind of threat that he sees, he's got to see Chris Jericho, you know, what he's doing. He's got to see the talk about this new company that, again, we're going to get into in a little bit. That's why we're teasing this. A guy like Walter, you know, you maybe have not seen as much of, but when you see him, when you see his images, when you see his matches, what are your impressions of Walter?
Like you said, my impressions of him are basically he has that type of it factor, meaning that, you know, the size and the presence about him is something that, you know, you can't take your eyes off of. It's really, it's something there and you can't avoid it. But with that being said, you talked about this it factor. And I think sometimes, no offense, but I think sometimes we kind of blow it out of proportion. You know, he has, you know, the funny promo that Jericho does, it. He has some qualities about him. But the one thing that you and I have learned, especially when it comes to the world of World Wrestling Entertainment, right? You have to have more than just really good in-ring psychology and good in-ring skills. You have to have a persona and personality. That I have not seen enough of him.
The fans will go crazy if he makes his debut at TakeOver Blackpool. The fans know him, especially the European fans. Now, of course, you're right. If he's going to go into the WWE and he's going to go on that TV, if he's going to go on US TV, I totally agree with you. But he has made a name for himself on the global aspect, which has been, of course, the UK, Japan, Germany, especially Germany. That's where he's from. He lives in Germany, Austrian. So the man globally is known. So I think when he debuts, if he debuts on NXT TakeOver Blackpool, I think the crowd is going to go nuts. And I think you have a guy that you can have as a building block, especially in McMahon and Triple H's mind, some guy that is going to be a future champion for that brand.
Don't get me wrong here. I'm not trying to diminish the signing. It's a great signing. It's a great move by Walter to be signed by WWE and to be part of NXT, because we know as NXT and, you know, it being Triple H's baby, it's more leaned towards the hardcore, diehard fans. Their fans are more well-rounded and know somebody's globally as him, for example. But when you talk about the fact that he says he's not in it for the money, okay, you can say that now, but who knows, down the road, you're 31 years old, you want to live comfortably. If that opportunity does present itself, will he decline it? I don't know. I'm not in his head. But you would think, if an opportunity came for him to come to WWE, the quote-unquote main roster, you know, would his global presence carry over to the general audience? And that's the main focus I'm trying to make here, Jeff, is that, you know, the general audience will not know the history of what a Finn Balor, Fergal Devitt is. Will not know what Luke Gallows and Anderson meant in New Japan Pro Wrestling, because they see them what they are on WWE programming. Shinsuke Nakamura, one of the biggest stars in Japan, is now, you know, not even non-existent on WWE programming. So to me, that's what my main concern is. But again, that's looking down the road. Ultimately, I agree with you. It's a great signing, a great pairing by both right now, because it couldn't be more convenient for Walter to be part of this and help build up that new brand, which is NXT UK, which, you know, with these stars and their takeover that's going to happen pretty soon, you couldn't ask for a better scenario than something like this. So you said that immediate impact is what you need when you're starting something up fresh. Although NXT has existed for a while now, UK is completely brand new.
Now, my question here is, and I'm thinking about this as you're talking about the whole, you know, globalization in general. Do you think at the end of the day, do you think maybe when we close the door on 2019, there's going to be just too much NXT programming? There's just going to be too much WWE programming? I mean, we already have 3 hours of Raw, which is, you know, sometimes can be brutal, like it was this past week. You have SmackDown Live, which is the wrestling show, but sometimes, again, it could be tough to watch, too. Yeah, it shouldn't be, because these rosters are so talented, but do you think there's going to be a point where there's just going to be too much wrestling on the WWE platform that's going to be saturated? Because right now what we love is that there's different varieties, right? You mentioned about the ice cream flavors, the 31 flavors.
And everybody makes fun of that. It's like Baskin-Robbins. You have a choice now. It's a perfect setup for this. Yeah.
Could someone actually get tired if the same company is making these different flavors, but it kind of has that WWE feel?
Let me get this straight there. Are we talking about WWE programming or oversaturated with professional wrestling?
It's oversaturated with NXT UK. Then they have NXT Germany. Then they have NXT Japan. Then they have NXT Australia. Do you think at one point that it's going to be like, man, all right, you know, it's going to be, I'm getting it from the same company and I'm not getting it from like a New Japan or a Ring of Honor? Or because 2019 is going to be a deciding factor. It's going to be the second that we get to midnight, 12:01, in 2019, those companies like Ring of Honor, New Japan, they could face uncertainty a lot with all these guys leaving. So I'm just wondering if it's too much wrestling from one company.
I don't think so. I really don't. Because here's the thing. When it comes to WWE programming we're talking about, if I'm just specifically speaking about WWE, is it oversaturated? Yeah, you have Raw, SmackDown, you have the Mixed Max Challenge, you have Total Live. Divas, 205 Live, you have what's going on with the NXT Night, NXT UK, and the list goes on and on, right? It could be oversaturated if you're trying to keep up with it, like you and I are trying to do. It becomes too much to keep up with, and so you kind of try to use the cheat sheet to kind of figure out what's going on. But I don't think it's too much for the wrestling fan, because this is what I feel personally, the wrestling fan, and you and I have gone back and forth with this, have wanted for so long. Can it get to that point where it's just a little too much and everything's kind of, you know, it's kind of copycat types of what's going on here? Yes, I think that's a possibility. But when you look at, for example, Ring of Honor, what they do is completely different than what Impact does. What Impact does is completely different than what New Japan does. You know, Lucha Underground, which you don't speak about a lot, but it's a great product too. It's not a wrestling show. It's just a TV show. We have wrestling behind it. So you have different things that they want to satisfy your taste buds, in the sense we're talking about ice cream here. And I don't think it's oversaturated. I think it can get to that point, but right now, currently, especially now with the momentum that has happened in 2018 and where it hopes to be in 2019, because it's been this whole revolution. And we were just talking about it not too long ago about, oh my goodness, what's going on? Jeff and I are going to go to Vegas pretty soon for AVN. We're going to, you know, do WrestleMania, the Ring of Honor Supercard, and the Masked Square Garden. All In 2 might happen. The Jericho Cruise thing might happen. You know, all this stuff is starting to develop itself. It can reach that point, but I think currently right now, or going to 2019, it's going to be that way as well. And funny thing too, and you might laugh about this, but guys, if you watch the miniseries Adventures of the Trendsetter, you make a valid point though, because when I've spoken to some of the adult film stars, they've been talking about ways of separating themselves. And the one thing that adult stars, or mostly anybody, especially we could put even the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and all this stuff in here with the Elite, they promote themselves by doing their own vlogs and content. Adult film stars now are taking power in their own hands and filming their own content and putting it on sites like OnlyFans, where now fans can pay them directly. They don't have to go through the loophole and pay a certain percentage to a production company. Being the Elite, they do their stuff their own. But now how many more people are going to start doing their own vlogs and copycat what the Being the Elite series is doing? So it runs that risk. But then it's up to the promotion and the companies to find out, how do I separate myself from that? Because ultimately, the last thing you want to do is copy what WWE is doing and be your own entity. And right now, I think currently everybody in professional wrestling has their own niche right now. It just depends on what your flavor is.
Let's be honest, podcasting, it's oversaturation.
Oh yeah,
too.
Exactly.
You have to find the next thing. You have to go to video. You have to make maybe shorter episodes. Maybe you have to go to, like you said, video blogging, and maybe do like a skit. Maybe find the next niche. What is it going to be? So that is something that we are actually, you know, at a crossroads, and eventually you're going to have to, you know, go to a lot more video. And that's why the YouTube channel is up, and that's why it's gaining momentum and it's getting successful. So people, let's be honest, people with their attention span, they want to see it. They could listen to it, but it can't be too long. It has to be something that catches their ear, and I think visuals is going to be much more important heading into 2019, more than audio, but we will see what happens with that. But again, though, the global expansion, everyone, I think, is getting that, you know, message that, you know, 2019, we talked about the free agency, you know, and globalization is going to be something that, again, is also going to be talked about.
And that's a key word, but I think, honestly, as much as we're talking about the NXT UK, I think globalization has to be taken into consideration of all of professional wrestling. Whether you want to call it sports, entertainment, professional wrestling, it's definitely, obviously, up to you. But I think, Jeff, when you really look at it, look at Ring of Honor. They've done it now. They have their own streaming site where you can see content yourself. The same thing with New Japan. New Japan is trying to globalize itself now to the United States. What they've done with their, you know, their specials here in the Los Angeles and trying to move over maybe a little bit closer to the East Coast. Who knows in time? I think globalization is everywhere in wrestling. It's not just WWE. WWE has just done it longer, more successfully, and have done it in terms of that that machine, as we talk about, that well-oiled machine. They've done it so well and so effortless that, you know, it's easier for them to progress because everybody knows them more than a New Japan or a Ring of Honor or stuff like that. But I think globalization, ultimately, the point I want to make on this show is that I don't want it just to be focused on what WWE is doing. I think globalization's been happening all of 2018 and in 2019 with everything in professional wrestling. When you talk about Impact, you talk about Ring of Honor, you talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, and the list goes on and on. I think right now we're at that stage. 2019 is going to be, you know, kind of, you know, everybody's going to go for it, basically. In what way, it depends on the promotion.
I want to talk about Ring of Honor for a second, Trendsetter, because what I think is going to be amazing is we're going to be in Ring of Honor Final Battle mode. So it's going to be at the Hammerstein Ballroom. It's going to be in the Manhattan Center, and it's amazing. One of the matches that I'm looking forward to watching is going to be Jonathan Gresham and Zack Sabre Jr. It's going to be amazing. Jonathan Gresham has had an amazing year, had an amazing matchup with Jay Lethal, really took him to the limit. And I think the size fools everybody. I think that, you know, he gets the respect, but he's not going to get the WWE's respect because of the size. But this is a guy that finally, when you go to the Manhattan Center, this has the ability to steal the show, as well as the Ladder War match, the triple threat match between Scorpio Sky, Frank Kazarian, against the Young Bucks and the Briscoes. You know that they're going to try to steal the show. So you have two matches there, and when we get to final battle mode, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, let's not forget also Cody versus Jay Lethal for the Ring of Honor Championship, something we've, you know, depending on the outcome of that, will kind of answer a lot of questions leading into January. But, you know, it's like you never know what's going to happen here. They can always throw you a curveball. No, you're right, Jeff. With Jonathan Gresham, the Octopus, the thing is with him is that he to me portrays that underdog type of mentality.
Ultimate underdog.
Yeah, yeah. Similar like a Daniel Bryan, for example. So he has that going for him. He's got the in-ring skills. Haven't really seen him too much on the microphone, but again, whatever he lacks in terms of charisma, he makes up for with in-ring skill, in-ring psychology. I think the next step for Gresham, regardless of what happens here with Zack Sabre Jr., is that, you know, you want to make sure he holds his own. But again, I would like to see in 2019 a little bit more personality coming from him. I want to hear him talk a little more. I want to find out who he really is. Now, we've met him a couple times. We shook his hand. We said hello
to him.
Quiet,
humble guy.
Seems like, yeah, a very quiet, nice, humble guy. But I want to know the real story of who is this guy. I know what he can do in the ring. But as you and I both know, we mentioned this early on, it's not anymore about what you can do in the ring anymore. And I was somebody that was just so bitter about it and saying, no, it's the in-ring skill is what matters. But again, I'm not talking about WWE here, but if you want to make yourself a bigger star, you want to make yourself more well-rounded and well-known, you have to be able to showcase that verbally as well. So I'm looking forward to that match, but also looking forward to what 2019 holds for Jonathan Gresham. As opposed to steal the show, my goodness. As soon as you mentioned the Briscoes and the Young Bucks and then Scorpio Sky and Frank Kazarian, my God, it's like they're going to be jumping from balconies all over the place. It's going to be crazy, and I would hate to be the match that follows them, but I am looking forward to, you know, for personal reasons, Cody versus Jay Lethal, because I think really this is going to dictate to me what's going to happen, because the rumors have been sworn on what's going to happen in January. We've been watching Being the Elite. They've been you know, talking about it and joking about it. So like it has us as fans looking, not necessarily looking forward to the new year, but really trying to think what's going to happen.
Anticipating
in a good and scary way, in a sense, because we don't know what's going to happen. But we do know that depending on the outcome of this could kind of dictate or give us a better clue of what's going to happen in January.
And again, though, I believe, and again, going back to Gresham really quickly, yeah, he had an awesome match with Cody too this year too.
Yeah, he did.
So I think, like we were talking about beforehand, the cream rises to the top. So if guys leave from Ring of Honor, which we expect, you know, hopefully not all, but some of them to leave, then, you know, they're going to have to count on different stars and more stars. And I think Gresham is a guy that they definitely have their eye on next year to be one of the top stars for Ring of Honor. So I think, you know, the cream will rise to the top, and I think there's a bright future for a guy like Gresham.
Wise man once said that.
Right, really? Yeah, you know you did.
Several wise men once said that, yeah.
Yeah, the cream always rises to the top, yeah. But, you know, Ring of Honor, I love Ring of Honor. I've grown very fond of them, and I just want nothing but the best for them as a company to succeed. They've been so gracious with us. They're awesome. Their PR is amazing. And, you know, again, they've had people leave before, and they've survived. So I think with strong leadership under Joe Koff, Kerry Silkin is still there in the mix, I think they're going to be okay. So, again, but I do believe, gun to your head, do you think this is the last time that we see Bucks, Cody, Hangman Page in Ring of Honor ring?
Simple question. Yes, I think it's the last time we see them.
Last time. And where will they
I don't think it's the last time we'll see Adam Hangman Page, though. I know they all want to stick together, but I think depending on how negotiations go, I think Hangman has a lot more to prove in Ring of Honor. And if the Young Bucks and Cody leave, that gives a great opportunity for somebody like him, depending on how it all works itself out. But to answer your question, yes, I think this is the last we'll see of him.
And also another great match with Hangman Page against Jeff Cobb for the Ring of Honor Television Championship 2. And of course, Marty Scurll and Christopher Daniels will go one-on-one too. But where are they going to go? We found out, maybe got a hint of exactly where they might go or what their future might hold. Before we do that, Trendsetter, and talk about the future of the Elite, let's talk about, just in time for the holiday season, we're going to talk about Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. Check out the entire winter fashion line, including brand new long sleeve shirts and hoodies. You got to go to collarxelbowbrand.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code High Spot Podcast. Just in time for the holidays, it's Collar X Elbow. Man, Collar and Elbow is, man, I got my shopping done there, Trendsetter. You know, little little grab bags there for maybe you and the family. So definitely Collar and Elbow, great online store for all your wrestling needs. You know, and again, they mix wrestling fashion with street fashion.
Can't ask for more than that. Yeah. You know, plus you save some savings right there for the holidays. 10% off, it's something there. Mention High Spot Podcast.
There
Do us
go.
A favor.
Put a little money in our pockets too. So, Trendsetter, we're talking about exactly
a little money.
A little money. a little cash. We're talking about what the future holds for the Elite. Everybody wants to know. They're teasing it on their show, being the Elite. And kudos. I like the episode of The Exorcism of Cody. I thought it was very fun.
I'm scared.
He had the money shakes. Listen, I wish one day I get the money shakes like Cody, because I know that I've made it, you know. But, you know, thanks.
I get the shakes, but it has nothing to do with money.
And again, we want to thank Christopher Daniels, the Fallen Angel, for bringing Cody back to us. But, you know.
Delivering us from our sins.
You know, a while ago, they were talking about Chris Jericho and Jim Ross maybe heading up a promotion. There were a lot of rumors about that and how they're affiliated with the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, you know, Jericho just kind of brushed it off, and Jim Ross was like, hey, you know, and that was it. But then Pro Wrestling Sheet and the Pro Wrestling Observer, they kind of got more delved into it, and then it looks like they have trademarked somebody affiliated with, you know, with the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is definitely the son, has definitely Shad Khan, who is the son of Shahid Khan, the owner of the Jaguars. They have trademark names like All Elite Wrestling, AEW, All Elite Wrestling is the acronym, AEW All Out, which, of course, All In was this past September, which is a another way to call All Out, Double or Nothing, and Tuesday Night Dynamite. And the rumors now persist that when all is said and done, and when we find out in January, when the clock strikes 12:01, that Cody, the Young Bucks, and Hangman Page could be part of this brand new wrestling organization called AEW. Now, would they be willing to work with Impact? Would they be willing to work with Ring of Honor, New Japan? It's going to be very important what kind of contracts they sign, whether they don't become exclusive. I think that's the issue. They don't want to be exclusive. Mm-hmm. They want to go around the world. When I was on the cruise, what really struck me was when Kenny Omega said, when he was saying the goodbye and goodnight speech, the last matches on the cruise, he said that it's going to be great for all the companies to maybe work together and give you amazing matches, you know, the following year. And that stuck to me because I'm thinking that all signs point to this, trendsetter. And when it's all said and done, I think AEW is going to be a real thing. And I think that Chris Jericho is having the time of his life. And it just so happens that JR's contract is up with WWE. And I think that this is going to happen. I think AEW, All Elite Wrestling, I think it's going, you know, I think it's going to come true. I think this is what we're going to, at the end of the day, I think this is what's going to happen. And, you know, they're taking a shot on themselves. A lot of people, you know, the popularity has been amazing. Now they're going off on their own as the Elite. And I think they're going to give the fans what they want, and they're fan-friendly, and I think it's going to succeed, and I think that this is where we're headed. I think that AEW is going to come to fruition.
Well, I hope it happens. Will it? We still have yet to see. I mean, from what you've been reading and what we've been reading and looking at, and not just us, but I'm sure a lot of people as well who listen to the show here, the High Spot Podcast, have been doing the same exact thing and following this very closely. Yeah, it'd be great for the industry too, and you know, it goes back to the question you asked me: is this oversaturation? But you know, I think when you really dissect this, Jeff, it's really more. You had mentioned it. You know, these are individuals just betting on themselves. I mean, you know, I'm sure a lot of people wish Chris Jericho could go back to the WWE, but I always kind of refrain that and ask them, well, what is he going to do in WWE? He's done everything he can. He'll just be a guy there. He's done everything you could possibly ask for in his career in terms of what his relationship is with Vince McMahon. We don't know that, but he's doing great stuff in New Japan. He seems to be revitalized, enjoys his time there. The creativity and the creative juices are flowing. So I think this is going to be something really awesome, because when you look at, you know, the Elite and their following, it's going to carry over. It carried over with them with the momentum for All In, and nobody thought that they could sell a 10,000-seat arena in under 30 minutes, and it happened with no match set or no card set for that event. It was just people wanted to be part of history. I think if this were to happen and come to fruition, I think the exact same thing is going to happen. The following is going to be there, and I think it does make sense for, if this does happen, for Ring of Honor, Impact, to and New Japan to all collectively work together, because you only benefit yourselves when you're all collectively working together. It's not about competition anymore. I think ultimately it's about everyone trying to succeed together, and I think if you do that, it's going to happen. But, you know, regardless of what happens, Kenny was still right about something on the cruise, Jeff, that, you know, promotions nowadays are working together. It's not anymore about, you know, I'm trying to put you out of business, or you can't borrow my talent because it's going to hurt me. No, we're all on the same team here. It's all about promoting ourselves, cross promotion, which is the big thing nowadays, which we do on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network as well. It's all about helping each other out. And I think ultimately, regardless if it happens or not, I hope it does, it's going to be great for the business.
And I think it's become a negative to try to not help each other out as a promotion. I think that, like you said, those days are gone. It's not territorial. I think they understand that to get a piece of that pie, that they need to work together against the machine. So, you know, not trying to...
I don't think it's against the machine either. I think it's
an alternative
option.
To
I
the machine.
I would always ask the question too, Jeff, and you would look at me like kind of squint-eyed, like, you know, how could, you know, nobody's going to compete with WWE. No, not now, not in 5 or 10 years from now. But I think the way it's going right now, and you had talked about, well, Vince, when he sees a threat, he's going to buy the town off. I don't think that's going to work anymore. Because sometimes you can't put a price tag on something. If you're a professional wrestler right now, looking at the product currently what it is right now, you want that freedom. You want that creative control of yourself and developing yourself as a character beforehand. And now there's so many more options. We've spoken to, for example, Cody and also slipping my mind here. He's the hottest thing in professional wrestling right now. Sammy Callahan.
The draw. How do you forget about the draw?
I can't believe it was. I'm really tired, Jeff. That's why I forgot. But look at Sammy Callahan, living a comfortable living, better than what he was making before, and he dictates his own schedule. He's on 3 promotions. So it is doable, and it's not about competing anymore. I think talent will eventually see the upside and saying, you know, well, WWE's offering me this amount, but here I can kind of make the same exact thing, but just work a little bit harder and I dictate my own schedule. I don't have to, you know, be told what to do. I can kind of pinpoint it myself and become a star on my own.
Yeah, and like we said, you get a Raw and a SmackDown like you did this past week. You're begging for an alternative. You want, you know, something else. And we've been kind of like here, yes, we know we have New Japan, but I can't wait for Ring of Honor, man. I can't wait to get my fix of the wrestling that I like. You know, the one that I've, you know, we started out this podcast and we're going to talk about WWE, and we really were kind of novices about Ring of Honor and novices about New Japan. And then, you know, like I said, the turning point to me was that first Okada and Omega match, because I was like, wow, there's something new here. And I got excited about it. And, you know, the future is really bright for pro wrestling. And, you know, whether it's AEW, whether it's going to be New Japan, Ring of Honor, I think everyone's going to succeed. And, I cannot wait for that trendsetter. So,
Kill me both.
Yeah, before we wrap up to our old friend, your old friend, the guy you love, the guy that you call Phil Brooks, he made headlines because, I don't know, trendsetter, you read the excerpts from WrestleZone.com and
I thumbed it.
Yeah, you thumbed it all right. Or maybe you gave it the middle finger, but he had an interview.
Oh, just because I do Adventures of Trendsetter, it's not used thumbing in a derogatory way, Jeff.
So CM Punk recently spoke with Mark Raimondi of MMA Fighting. So this is where we're getting these excerpts from. And I think when people, you know, say that, oh my God, Punk has left the door open to come back to pro wrestling, that's not what I read. I read that he'll listen, but of course, what else is he going to do? Just shut it out? I mean,
he could.
You have a lot. Here's the thing, though. He comes out to Ariel Helwani, I believe, right after the verdict on the trial that he had, and he says to the point where he doesn't want to know about it. He's done, right? So then all the thing was about Cody had offered him, but then to go to All In, which I think would have been perfect, just to come out there, whatever. But he goes that, hey, just an offer to go in there and do something, you know.
It's not an offer, right?
It's business. CM Punk's business now. So, you know, and now all of a sudden, it comes out to him saying, well, I'll listen, you know, because he sounded more upset and more closing the door in the last interview than he did in this one. But to me, I think it's just all talk, and I think it's, again, the wrestling media looking at him and be like, oh my God, he said he'd listen now. So now I see headlines saying, CM Punk opened the door to wrestling again. And that's not what I got in this interview. I said he'd listen, but I don't think he's even said that he'd open the door to wrestling again. But I do think that the wrestling that he's looking for, the creativity that he wants, he'll get it if he joins AEW or the Young Bucks or whatever they're doing, you know?
Like this is the way I think about Phil Brooks right now. His dream of becoming a mixed martial artist in the UFC is done. Now, whether he wants to continue his career in mixed martial arts because it's truly a passion, he loves it.
He's going to be commentating December 14th in Atlantic City.
He can continue in that fashion. If he wants to be competitive still in the ring, he would have to go to smaller promotions such as, and I don't want to insult Bellator here, but you know, you have to go to Bellator or some other place. Like De La Hoya just opened up a new one. I forgot what the name of it was. It doesn't really matter because I don't know what's going to happen again.
You didn't buy that Ortiz Liddell fight, did you?
No, I did not. And it's a good thing I didn't. But again, it's you have other options to choose from. It's very limited now what he wants to do career-wise because he's up there in age. The only thing he could collectively still do at this point in his career and would consider still being in his prime would be professional wrestling. But the choice is up to him. It really feels from the entire moment when he left the WWE to even currently now, he's tried to put that behind him. But I think it's kind of naive, and this is my opinion, for CM Punk to try to block that away and try to ignore the fact that he was a professional wrestler. That's what made you your money. That's what made you live a comfortable living with you and your wife.
That's why the line to pro wrestling tees that day was ridiculous. You know?
Exactly. So I don't think it's smart that he's trying to do that, but I get it. He's bitter. He has bad memories and bad feelings about it. Okay, that's fine. But at the same time, what else are you going to do in terms of, you know, he has a comfortable living. That's great. Will you listen? That's fine. But I really don't think, and you were saying how cool it would be if CM Punk showed up in Chicago. Yeah, it'd be cool. But I think at the point where the impact that CM Punk could make, I don't think it's worth exploring anymore because I think it's way past him. If he doesn't want to commit to anything, it's fine. I think people should really kind of just move on past it because whether he comes back or not.
What's the closest thing that you've had people are just so obsessed with that they want it to happen, but they're just looking?
They want Shawn Michaels to come back and they want Stone Cold Steve Austin to wrestle one more time.
They got Shawn Michaels and
but we have to be realistic. Exactly. Yeah. We have to be realistic. Shawn Michaels, he looked good. Kip up. I keep saying nipped up for some reason.
Well, because you're doing the Adventure with the Trent, that's what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, I got my shows mixed up.
Yep.
But yeah, he still can move well, but it's not possible to think like Chris Jericho can do the same stuff he used to do before. Eventually, you have to move on. And I think at this point, for me at least, and you know, I've been a CM Punk fan. I've been a fan of Phil Brooks. I don't like the way he sometimes he's handled certain things. But at the end of the day, I think the bandwagon for CM Punk, a.k.a. Phil Brooks, to me has passed. You know, whether he does it here in January or not, if he doesn't do it, I think we should all collectively just kind of move on.
Oh, people should have moved on right before All In. Once he gave that interview, people should have moved on. Like, all right, well, listen, when it happens, it happens. But
do you think CM Punk can make an impact coming back?
I do. I think
for what for this promotion that they're thinking about to open up in January with AEW or for example New Japan or Ring of Honor or something like.
See, I always thought. That I didn't think that they were going to go and make it their own organization. I thought they were just going to re-sign with Ring of Honor, but just not be exclusive and go everywhere. And I think Ring of Honor wouldn't have had a problem with it. And see, now this opens a lot of things because the only question I have for you is, this is getting off the CM Punk track, but don't you think Ring of Honor did all that stuff to help out the Young Bucks and Cody when they did All In? They gave them, you know, showed them a new production and, you know, did all that. And now when they're going to leave them, do you think there should be any bitterness on Ring of Honor for that?
No, I don't think so. Because it's a business, as we talk about. They got promotion and they got built up because their stars are part of the All In card as well.
Yeah.
So it works both ways. Wow. Same thing for Impact, same thing for New Japan. Their stars were center stage in a big event that was promoted, and you knew these were stars from this promotion. So the best thing from an audience standpoint, from a business standpoint, is that once they've seen this, they're going to now check out Ring of Honor. They're going to check out New Japan. They're going to check out Impact. It works out both ways. There should be no bitterness because it's all business. It's all about that. But you know, you still have to answer my question. Do you think right now, currently, he can make an impact? You said yes, but in what way and for what company?
I think for whichever one he chooses. I would have thought Ring of Honor, but I think he will make an impact here if he does go to AEW.
So he's going to Impact?
Not Impact. Well, yeah, Impact just happens that it's the running pun because of Impact Wrestling. But for whichever company that he chooses to go, if he does, you know, definitely.
This is window
will
now.
Make a lot of noise.
Is this the window for him to do it?
Well, AJ Styles, what, 40, 41? What's
no, I'm talking about Impact in terms of making... I'm using the own pun.
There you go.
I'm saying the window of him making a difference or making a buzz in professional wrestling. Is this now his window? Because if this window closes, will you be interested in him coming back in any other type of situation?
I think the window is so wide open. It could be 2 years from now. I think the fans... Look at the fans. They still cheer for Stone Cold. They want him to come back. And how long has it been since WrestleMania 19? Since... 19, right?
Yeah, it was 19, yeah.
How long? People still want him to wrestle. The wrestling fan is loyal to a fault, and it doesn't matter whether it's 5 years from now. Second CM Punk says he's going to go in the ring, that wrestling fan will be there.
Yes, but that wrestling fan also, you know, wants Hulk Hogan to do another leg drop. But we know, smart-wise, if Stone Cold Steve Austin were to come back now, at this stage in his career, it's not going to be the same Stone Cold Steve Austin. Same thing with Shawn Michaels.
You know what? I get it. There's going to be fans that think that, oh, Steve Austin's been frozen in time, and he'll come back and you'll get Stone Cold from, you know, Attitude Era. But I think fans will be open to CM Punk. Because you know what? Unlike CM Punk, CM Punk could be just as a authority figure or something like that, but people will go because he's got the gift of gab. He can sell him in with his promos and stuff like that. So CM Punk is back in the news, but guys, listen, our advice is until he steps in the ring and he says he's going to, let it go. Let it go, because you're reading way too much into these articles. And every time someone asks him about pro wrestling, you know, and he says, I'll listen. Well, I mean,
I think every single time CM Punk gets asked about pro wrestling, he just gets more bitter about it. And that just deters him from even wanting to go back. But if he does or he doesn't, regardless, I think it's going to be successful January, and depending on what's going to happen. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right, guys. You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. Again, great to be here. Another great episode. Again, the globalization, the global expansion, we think, is now fruition for the WWE. We talked about that. And, of course, the future of the Bullet Club. Well, not Bullet Club, but the future of the Elite. And where they're going to.
It'll be a while to get used to that, but it's the Elite.
It's going to be, yeah. Guys, get your pro wrestling t-shirts, because you know, they're going to be discontinued now. It's going to be all about the Elite. The iconic skull logo is going to be gone.
But not another exciting time, too. It's the mere fact that what goes on with the Bullet Club? How are they going to revitalize themselves? Yeah. That's something I'm looking forward to see what happens.
Yep. So much to talk about. We're going to be in Ring of Honor Final Battle Mode the next few weeks here on the High Spot Podcast. Again, you can listen to us on all our podcast platforms, on iTunes, on Spreaker, on Blog Talk Radio, anywhere, and please on iTunes as well, leave a 5-star rating. Let us know what you think of the High Spot Podcast too. And
you can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Instagram and Facebook too. Follow us there and check out our website, highspotpodcast.com.
And definitely check us out on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. It is Brian Fritz's baby. He's got Between the Ropes. It is the flagship show. It drops every Wednesday. Sports Guys Talking Wrestling with Stu Mirnick and Justin Simmons. A little cameo there. We talked about Raw and SmackDown. And
I heard. You actually sounded like you knew you were talking about.
Yeah, look at that.
Good job.
At least on one show I do. The Cosmic Geppetto. Stick to the Gimmick with Spencer Davies and Martin Harp. Of course, also on the B Plus Player Radio Network and the Shining Wizards. I think they've done now 400 episodes.
Oof.
400 episodes.
Well, we're getting close to 200 here. So.
Yeah, we want to congratulate them. 400 episodes, still going strong. And also a bodyslam.net. We do the articles there, and the show is also available there and on our YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe there, Trendsetter. And now, Final Battle Mode, Trendsetter. A few weeks away from the Manhattan Center. It's going to be an amazing night.
It's going to be an amazing night. It's also going to be an amazing show too, Jeff. And you guys have been listening to the High Spot Podcast. For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I am the trendsetter, Brian Berg. And make sure you also catch my mini-series on YouTube as well, being sponsored by the High Spot Podcast, Adventures with the Trendsetter. You can check out my website, adventureswithtrendsetter.com, as I cover the world of the adult film industry. And we're heading to AVN in January, so I'm looking forward to that. Got the credentials in. Excited for that. Las Vegas is going to be a fun time. I'll be here before you know it. So, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. We will catch you next week. And remember, we do this for one reason only. We do this for you, the crew.